Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, June 18th, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Midlife Woman, Craft Your Comeback, with my guest, Jennifer Boykin, who is a speaker, teacher, and writer over at the site lifeaftertampons.com. But first, let me welcome you, all of you, my listeners. In order to get an announcement and a reminder of the show so you don't miss any episodes, you can click the follow button under my photo over on the show page. The show page is blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, and that's blog spelled B-L-O-G. Today's show is being brought to you by abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. Get your copy of the 7-Step Roadmap to Publishing Success, now available at www.abookin90days.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests in many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation even, business success, you name it. We have talked about so many topics because they all contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is Midlife Woman, Craft Your Comeback, with my guest, Jennifer Boykin, whose vision it is to help women recapture their midlife mojo. She speaks, teaches, and writes as the creative visionary and chief rabble-rouser of the midlife reinvention site, lifeaftertampons.com. Now, when you visit her site, don't forget to sign up for your e-retreat, Reclaim the Sass. Or find that glorious woman that's over there on her site with the floral headdress there on the homepage. It's free because you're priceless. Jennifer makes that available to you free. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Jennifer. Hi there, Jennifer.
Hi, Flora. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for making time to be on the show because I know you have a busy schedule.
Well, it's getting kind of crazy these days. I'm having a blast, though.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to be typical and ask the question I know that every interviewer must ask you, and that is, where did you get your URL, Life After Tampons?
I know. Yeah, it's pretty irreverent, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well,
I love it.
When I first started blogging, it was like at another site before this one, and it was kind of vanilla. It was CourageToChange.us or .us, which is the only thing we can change, right? Well, the whole time I'm writing there, I just thought it just felt too, like, way too hearts and flowers for who I am. But over on the sidebar, it had a little intro to me, and at the bottom of it said basically here what we're here to talk about is their life after tampons. And one night in the middle of menopausal insomnia at 3 in the morning, it occurred to me that Life After Tampons was a truer voice representation for me, and that's where it came from. But then, honestly, Flora, I was too afraid to claim it. I had to have a whole focus group and everything of all my best girlfriends.
Really?
Like,
oh.
Am I brave enough? Am I brave enough to say tampon out loud? And I found out in the beginning, too.
Well, that's what I find so intriguing about your URL, because you've done what many of us have thought about doing in other respects, you know, just being bold, put it out there and not worry about what people are thinking. But it is kind of scary at first, especially if you had a vanilla kind of site or life before. This is kind of scary, but I find it completely intriguing, and I just love to tell people about it.
Thank you. Well, the thing, too, is like the thing I didn't understand is that if you really want to attract people that are like you, mm-hmm. it's important to be clearer and clearer about who you are and openly representing that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for example, there's lots of places you can go to read about change and being a better mommy and all that, but I make it really clear that's not what we do.
Exactly.
And that makes it really clear for people to self-select. You know, if
yeah.
you're not the kind of person that can laugh at yourself and at your life situation, you might do a little bit better than with us. Because we're kind
true.
Of irreverent and fun.
Yeah, I love that. Now, over on your website, you mentioned that you began your midlife reinvention by running away
right.
from home. And tell us about that, because that intrigued me. You know all of us think about running away from home, right?
Yes, and I'd been reading all of these autobiographies of women that did, right, The Year by the Sea and all that other, Joan Anderson's work and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what really happened was I'd been playing it safe for too long.
Sure.
About 15 years ago is when I knew that I was supposed to speak and write on inspirational topics. But
mm-hmm.
I kept putting it off. I kept thinking, you know, well, I had babies, and then I was getting my master's degree, and then I got surprise divorce, and, like, all these things happened. And I kept thinking next year was going to be my year. And what happened was I was turning 49, and I thought, yeah, we're running out of next years, you know. So what I did, I took the weekend off in celebration of my birthday, and I went away to kind of write sort of a strategic plan, strategic vision for what it was going to look like by the time I turned 50,
mm-hmm.
Which was last February, and I launched the site on February 1st. So
wow.
Yep.
That is so great. Congratulations to you. And you
Thank
know what's
you.
So wonderful about what you did is, it makes it doable for all of us, because all of us have thought about running away from home. And for
yeah.
many of us, it sounds too scary, because it sounds like you're going to run away and never come back, or you're going to get out there and get lost. But
right.
doing it for a weekend the way that you did, it gave it some controls, and yet you were away from your normal environment. You were able to think, and you were able
right.
to come up with where you were and where you needed to go. I've run away from home quite a few times, sort of like that, with the weekend.
Right. Well, the thing I didn't realize is how burnout I was until I
mm-hmm.
went either.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of your work is around the idea of triumph over adversity, and God knows we all have plenty of that. Now, how did this subject become important to you? And what do you say to women who are dealing
right.
with a particularly difficult time in their lives?
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm the kind of person that when something bad happens, I get angry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. It's fight or flight, you know, and I'm all fight
mm-hmm.
Mostly. And I'm lucky that way. But what really happened was 20 years ago, my first baby died in my arms right after her birth. She was a
mm-hmm.
preemie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my only daughter. I've since had three sons. I married a man who also had three sons, so now I have six boys, most
wow.
of them grown.
Wow.
But Grace was my only daughter, and she
mm-hmm.
was the first. And, you know, what happened then is, like, I didn't know you could be broken in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I resolved to find a way out. I determined that it was going to honor her the most if I got better, that being a martyr to her memory didn't honor her, and that the best mother I could be was a healthy one.
Mm-hmm.
So I read everything I could find about loss, the death of a child, healing from that, and I ended up talking about it at church, and that led to a weekend workshop, and that weekend workshop, you know, led within a couple of months, I was being flown to hither and yon to talk about adversity
mm-hmm.
and healing from loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was before 9/11. This was before it got really complex,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do air travel. And it was also before all the rest of my babies had been born.
Yeah.
And honestly, when they were young, I just really wanted to be here with them.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the internet either, so you
oh.
couldn't do it. Like, you know, you wouldn't have been able to have this conversation and put
exactly.
it on the internet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I waited so long to do my big dream, the whole technology changed.
Well, actually, that's good, because now you can do so much more and so fast, so much faster with the
sex
but
now I want to be gone.
But I just love the fact that you resolved, somehow or another, you resolved to honor your daughter's memory in a positive way. And it's
right.
Grief, you know, we all are going to encounter grief in some way, some fashion. And yet
right.
Some of us, if you don't watch out, you'll sink into this bottomless pit and have so much trouble getting out of it. So I'm
yes.
so happy you decided to honor her memory in this way by getting better. And now look at you're helping all the rest of us get better
oh,
in all
you.
The different ways that we need help. Now,
yeah, but I just got lucky. It was that sort of right mix of tragedy and personal ornery.
Being ornery is a good thing.
Yeah.
My kids joke about me being a Taurus, and instead of
being
determined, they say I'm headstrong and think I know everything. Well, what's wrong with that? Your
well, what
humor.
What do you do, though? That's the
yes,
problem.
What if I do? I seem to. Now, your humor is a bit irreverent, to say the least.
Yes.
What sort of feedback do you get about your style from people?
Well, again, I think, you know, to thine own self be true, and it attracts people that are similar. It, every time you can tell the truth about yourself, you get closer and closer to your tribe. So, now, I never want to use humor to hurt or to disrespect either.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's been an educational process over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, when you can, and the other thing that I'm really big on is telling my truth but not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So I use humor to make fun of myself and
mm-hmm.
my process, but never you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's the ultimate.
Even though we recognize ourselves in your truth.
Yes.
When you share it.
Well, then that's an invitation for you to play, too, if you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you said every time you tell the truth about yourself, you get closer to your tribe. And this is something that as women, and especially in my age group, I'm a little older than you, we were raised to not tell the truth
yeah.
about ourselves. We were raised to, you know, put on a happy face and keep your dirty laundry to yourself. And anything that came
yeah.
close to being open and straight up honest was a problem, I can remember as a kid.
Yeah.
I was always being shushed.
Yes. And now you're like on internet radio refusing.
Now I tell my business, and now my kids are gasping and like, oh, my God. I have
well, the other
children.
Thing that really helps you is, don't you think, is mortality. You know,
yes.
that mortality is such a gift. Acceptance of your own demise is such a gift.
That's right.
Because everything is against that now, right? If not,
right.
now when?
And I love it when people say, if something happens, instead of when I die. Something is going to happen. You are
yes.
going to die. So what are you going to do between now and then? That's what's important. Now, sometimes we know what we want to do in this world,
right.
or at least we think we do, but fear holds us back. So what would you say to a woman whose fear is getting in the way of her dreams?
Well, you know, you have your philosophical treatment, and then you have your action plan treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So on your philosophical treatment, that's like where we just went, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
If not now, when?
Yes.
If not
mm-hmm.
me, whom, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
so really what do you have to lose? So there's your philosophical. But then there's like really actionable things that you can do. Like, for example, if you have a really big goal and it's really a far drift off, like when I launched Life After Tampons, I took a year to do it. Well,
mm-hmm.
if every day for 15 minutes or 5 minutes you chunk it down,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to be afraid of a five-minute action, right? You
yeah.
know, you might be afraid of quitting your job or selling your house or, you know, telling the truth to so-and-so about something that's going to have a big consequence. But most people aren't afraid of the next right thing.
Right, right, right. That is
so
important.
The actual, right. Little tiny baby steps.
Mm. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about that, why don't we give you an opportunity to talk about your program, which is going to help people with these actionable steps. Would you share with us what you're doing right now?
Sure, sure. Well, thank you for asking. Tomorrow, actually, we're launching our first ever Craft Your Comeback workshop, mm-hmm. and it's for women who are ready to have their comeback. Now, what I've done is all along the way of the last 16 months, you know, since I went to the Hampton Inn to eat waffles and cry and think about changing my life,
mm-hmm.
I've been taking notes, everything I did, what didn't go well, what did. And so what I did was I streamlined all of that into four basic areas so that we can get a good hunk of action going for people. So it's a four-week course. In week one, we talk about clarity because most of us don't have the first clue what we want to do. We just know what we don't want to do. So actually we begin with the knots. The second week is about fear, and you talked about that. My readers tell me again and again that their biggest barrier to change is fear. Either the fear of failure, which is kind of silly when you think about it, because not doing something is the biggest failure. But nevertheless, it's a fear. It's only silly because we don't tease it out,
right,
and we
don't
desensitize it. Like if we really look at it, we're like, oh yeah, that's kind of, you're right, that's kind of a bonehead thing to think about. But the other fear, which is real, is pushback from other people in our lives. So we talk about strategies for that. And then, you know, and people are afraid to find out who their non-supporters are, too.
Yes.
There's an awful lot of loss and change. And I think that if you don't embrace that and accept that that's part of it,
mm-hmm.
Even in good change, there's a lot of loss. You lose your comfort zone. You lose where you are.
Mm-hmm.
In the third week, we talk about resources. And this handles the objection if I don't have enough time, money, or energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have strategies for that. And then because I come from a marketing strategic planning background, the fourth week is about strategy and putting a strategic roadmap in place to kind of keep you on track, because the easiest thing for a woman to have happen is to get pulled away from what she wanted to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
you
the
mean
easiest
by
thing?
Our
you,
children or by our...
By anything.
Yeah, right.
Like this morning I woke up, I knew I was talking to you, I have to do a blog post, I'm a closing speaker at a conference in Costa Rica next week, I have to get ready for that, and some other things. And I looked down, and my puppy has a raw spot on his leg, right? Well, so now I get to throw veterinary care, the drugstore and all that, you know. So it's easy to go, oh, never mind, I'll go to the gym tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes,
so
I know
easy.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. So we talk about that. We talk about leaving a placeholder for crisis or just unexpected things.
Right,
but then,
right.
But we marching on.
Right, right, right. I like the fact that you said placeholder for crisis, because it seems that when you get ready to do something bold and something worthwhile, it's one thing to battle your own confidence or lack thereof. But then here comes something out of left field to derail you. And,
right.
Just,
did you mean it, Flora?
Yes.
Did you really want
did
it?
You really want to do this? Mm-hmm. Or the thing like with your dog, or, you know, somebody gets sick or somebody does something that could upset your plan. And to know that it's coming and be ready to deal with it is great. I love that. So
well,
how
the
do
thing
we
is we feel like we have to know what the thing is, and we don't. We just have to know that it'll be something.
It'll be something. Tell us how to reach you to sign up for your workshop.
Right. Well, if you go to www.lifeaftertampons.com, over on the right-hand side, there's a list of recent posts, and you'll see it there. It's called Today It's Your Turn, Open If You're Ready. And there's a Wonder Woman there. But the other way is, like, if that's too complicated, just email me, jennifer@lifeaftertampons.com, and I'll get you all set up.
Okay, and Jennifer is spelled with two N's, correct?
It is.
Okay,
right.
I'll spell it JenNnifer@lifeaftertampons, and in case you forgot how to spell tampons, it's TAMPONS.com, correct?
That's right. You know, I do have about 5% of my readers are men, which is really funny.
And they tried to avoid spelling or touching tampons for many decades.
Well, I made all my sons like my Facebook page.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
So it shows up in their streams.
Oh, no.
So-and-so's a fan of Life After Tampons.
Oh, my goodness. I can remember, speaking of tampons, I can remember back in the day when husbands and boyfriends would never, ever, ever go to the store for you when that's the purchase you wanted them to get. And yet I saw a guy in the store the other day buying a box of tampons. And I thought, wow, times have really changed. And that's all he was buying.
Baby.
So obviously his woman, wife, whatever, sent him to the store, right? But I can remember when there was no way you could get a guy to go to the store for you for that.
Yeah.
So, what's next for you and your tribe?
I'm
after
sorry,
what did
you say?
What's going to be next for you after life after tampons? Obviously, your workshop at 4 weeks starts tomorrow. It starts tomorrow?
Right.
Okay.
It starts tomorrow, but there you can't be late. Everything's recorded, so
You'll
get that. You don't have to worry about anything. You know what's actually happening? This is like a big top secret, but last week I got a call from a literary agent from New York.
Wow.
Asking me, I know.
That's
it's
so
not
cool.
Well,
congratulations.
Right. So thank you. So the next thing that's happening for me is, and my readers have already given me some suggestions about what kind of book that they'd like to see. So actually, if anybody has feedback on that for me, I would love to hear about that. So that's what's next for me is I'm going to be writing that book proposal.
That is so cool.
Thank you. But really, what's the biggest vision that I have is to rebrand this whole idea of what a crone is. I want to make it sexy. I want to make being a hag sexy. Because we used to be, you know, it used to be you were the wise woman of the tribe. You
uh-huh,
know, you were
uh-huh.
the Flora or the Jennifer. You were the revered one.
Uh-huh.
But somehow we got disconnected from that. I think when the whole sexualized women as sexualized beings came into play, and it's like once your estrogen's gone, your value is as well. And so I want to change that.
Well, it looks like you're on the way to do that. And I want to point out to you and to listeners that I think one of the reasons that you've gotten a call from a publisher, I mean, because I'm a publishing coach, and many writers are struggling to get out there and get attention, either from publishing companies or to get their own book self-published. And part of the problem many of them have is identifying their tribe and identifying how their message differs. And I want to point out that your being irreverent, as you call it, life after tampons, and finding that niche that you're going after is what has made your work and now your upcoming book, it's made it possible because it's clear. It's clear who you're working with. Those of us who aren't in that camp, we immediately know that we're not. And those of us who are. So this is why the publishers love that. You have a platform and you have a strong directed message. So
Thank you, Flora.
Yeah, that's exactly
I'm
why
really excited
you've
about it. Well, we'll see. You know, there's nothing yet. So one thing at a time.
You know what? It's still something because the fact that they're interested is good, regardless of how it turns out. There's still a big market for you out there with books, whether it's traditional or non-traditional. I can tell you that.
Well, there's a lot to be learned, and I'll be giving you a call. Now that I've found out that this is something you have some expertise in, we're now attached at the hip, okay?
That's right. Well, what is the biggest question that you get asked by your readers or when you go to conferences and so forth, when you're a speaker? What is the biggest question?
I'll tell you the one that's made me the saddest because I've been hearing it all week, maybe because of the workshop happening tomorrow. But I've been getting all kinds of emails from people that go, I'm such and such age, am I too old?
Ooh.
Oh. Too old for what? You know? Doesn't that make you sad?
Yes. Tell my students that you still seem to be walking. You're not dead, so you're not too old.
Right. Well, and how can we make you any age other than what you are?
Exactly.
What that question is about sorrow and regret. It's not am I too old to change? It's have I given up so much that I can't get to where I want to be? And the answer to that really is, well, we don't know. You know, the books that I'm going to write today are a lot different than the books I would have written 15 years ago if I had started, right? But shoulda, coulda, woulda. And how much more time do we... I don't even want to squander a minute now thinking about that and slapping on myself for that. You know, that just keeps me in the problem and not in the answer.
Well, I'm so happy that the people who are asking that question of you are asking it, because to me that means there's a little glimmer of hope. The fact that they're even attending an event or they are visiting your blog, there's a little hope for them. They haven't completely given up, or else they wouldn't be there. Don't you think?
Right. Yes, but they aren't going to like the answer, because if you go to my blog and you look at the tagline, it very clearly says, quit your bitch and change your life.
I love that. It's true. And you said something earlier about taking those baby steps. And one of the things that I cover this too, I wrote a book called Color Your Life Happy, which deals with the changing your life and getting what you want out of life. And those baby steps are so critical. And I can't believe the number of us who don't even take the tiniest little steps. You know, let's say one of my goals is to visit Australia. Well, a tiny little step would be at least to go to a website and look up where I want to go in Australia, what's there. This, you know, that's a tiny, tiny little step.
Mm-hmm.
Before you ever
get to the cost
and all that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
I didn't know the miracle of tiny steps. I think I didn't have faith in tiny steps.
Mm.
You know, if you're a big game kind of visionary person, you don't really see the merit of tiny steps. You want what you want when you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like the balm to regret is to hurry up and make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a whole lot of chaos happen in a hurry. But really, truly, I've had to discipline. Life has disciplined me that I show up for myself in small ways, but I show up consistently in small ways.
Wow.
And, you know, we have a phrase, easy does it. Well, that means difficult doesn't. Easy is the way. And so the key is never giving up. The key is persistence.
That's true. And once that you're back to that miracle of tiny steps, once you even start exploring, once you even start inquiring and getting curious,
yes,
then people don't realize you've already started to turn that train around.
Well, and it has sticky tape.
Yeah.
Right? Everything has sticky tape. My negative self has sticky tape. Try that as an experiment. Go wah, 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 wah in the morning and see if you don't find a whole lot of evidence about why the world stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then go, well, now today I'm going to do a little experiment. I'm going to look for all the ways that people are generous. And all day long, all you see is generosity.
I have had so many experiences of that in my life where I have made up my mind that this is going to be positive, and it was. And it's so true. It's so true. Well, I am so happy that we have the option of visiting your site, lifeaftertampons.com, and we also now have the opportunity to learn from you, grow with you, be encouraged by you in your workshop beginning tomorrow. So we're coming to the end of today's show, but do you have some parting words for us before we close?
Well, either way, you know, workshop, no workshop, I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk about midlife and what's possible for women at this point. And if I can be of service in any way, that's my greatest vision. And so I hope people will, I'm very approachable,
yes,
people will reach out and let me help if, you know, in any way that I can. And
well, that's wonderful.
I'm profoundly grateful.
Well, I thank you so much for having made that decision long time ago to honor your daughter, and you are doing it in the best way possible by helping the rest of us. So I want to thank you, and thank you listeners for tuning in. I want to remind you that this episode is recorded. You will be able to come back to the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown and listen to it whenever you like. Be sure to share it with your friends, let them know, family, colleagues, especially those who are in this midlife category and need to craft a comeback. I invite you to join me again next Monday, June 25th, 2012, at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. It promises to be another informative and exciting show. This is Flora Brown. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I ask you to do every week, and that is have a blessed week and color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color Your Life Happy.